Now, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, that was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. Guys, we now come to a phase in the life of the disciples that is a phase of challenge. And I want to say this morning that probably, matter of fact, I want to say this morning, most definitely, some of you are at the same place that James and Peter and John were at 2,000 years ago, at a place, at a day, at a moment that God had ordained to take you to a new place of challenge. What do I mean? Well, the challenge is this. You've been following the Lord, you've been walking around with him, but you've never truly forsaken all. It's interesting to set the stage here, because where we take up, the disciples have now been following the Lord, and what we would say is saved believers going to church for about a year now. Remember, about a year ago, they met Jesus down at the River Jordan with John the Baptist, and John introduced the Lord there to Peter's brother and a couple of the other disciples. They went and got Peter, and it just grew from there, and they began to be followers of Jesus Christ. They met him. They knew him. They said, "He's real. There's something different. We believe that this is the Savior of the world. We believe this is the Messiah," and they begin to follow him. But note this. Even though they began to follow him, they had never truly given their entire life to him as of yet. They were committed. They had made that commitment. They had made that decision. They listened to his teachings. They followed him around, but they still held on to a certain part of their life rather than giving it all to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, they had to live in the real world, even as we do. They had to have jobs. They had to do the normal functions of life, but forsaking all and giving all to the Lord. See, that's where I believe the Lord wants to minister to some of you this morning. You see, as we look in the scriptures, we see a natural progression in the believer's life. Now, first of all, there are two groups of people. Let's make this very clear. There's the saved person. There's the unsaved person. There's the believer. There's the unbeliever. There are those that are in the kingdom. There are those, the Bible says, that will not get in the kingdom. What's the difference? One difference: Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and those who believe that he died for them and give their heart and life to him. That's the difference. That's the only difference. But guys, once we get into the believer and his walk and his commitment to the Lord, there are different levels of commitment in this room. Some of you go to church fairly regularly. You love the Lord. You've been saved. You know him. And you have God in your life to some degree. You acknowledge him. You recognize him. You're glad you're saved. But it stops right there. As far as the workplace, as far as sharing with friends, whoa, I'm not going to go there. They'll think I'm a religious fanatic. Some of you guys have gone on to the next level where you said, "You know what? I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care if people make fun of me. I'm going to start sharing, and come what may, like me or not, here I am. Jesus is the answer, and you need to know him." And you're there. And you're going, "Yep, that's me. I've done that. I'm there." And some of you have suffered the consequences of that. You've lost family. You've lost friends. And you know just a small portion of the suffering that comes in following Christ. Now, when I say suffering, it's not suffering like being nailed to a cross, but it is suffering. And some of you this morning are going to be challenged by the Lord to go to the third level of commitment. And that is where you've given your life. You've been vocal with family and friends, but now you're saying, "You know what, Lord? I don't care. Whatever you want, you've got it. You want my home, it's yours. You want my family, I turn it over. You want my business, my job, it's all yours. There's nothing I'm holding back." And for those of you that are here this morning that God is calling you to that place, that's really the message that is going to be piercing the heart, I believe, from what we see today, because that's where James and Peter and John were. You see, they were in a place where they had been following. They were committed. They were even in a place where probably, well, as a matter of fact, we know they were telling their friends. They were going around and sharing, Jesus, you've got to come see this guy. They were, if you will, inviting people to church. They were getting into it, very involved. But Jesus knew they were still holding back some. There was something in their life they hadn't completely turned over. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe they thought, if I do this, then you know he's going to take everything. If I say, okay, Lord, you can take my home, then he'll take it. Or Lord, everything I have is yours. You know, you have my family, Lord. There's my wife and my kids. I give them to you. I entrust them into your hands. So they'll die in a car wreck. I can't do that. Listen, when you give yourself over and your family over and your life over and your business over and your things, whatever it is you give over to the Lord, God doesn't take it and say, gotcha now. Watch this. Bam! He doesn't do that. No, he takes it and says, now, I'll take what you have to offer and I'm going to bless it and make it richer than you ever dreamed or imagined. Now, there are the realities where the Lord does, in his sovereignty, choose to take certain things. But let me say this. Whenever we give our all to the Lord and God takes something, I think Father knows best. How about you? Sometimes we think, Lord, why did you take that? And he says, you know why I took that? Because I want to take you to there. And if I hadn't taken that, I could have never gotten you to there. I don't know about you, but I really don't want to stay where I am. I don't like where I am. I love the Lord. I like the fact that he's changed my life, but I see too much of Mark still in me, and I have to live with me every day. And as I do that, I say, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to be closer. I want a higher level of commitment. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about holier than thou. I'm talking about just realizing who we are. And even as we get into this, you're going to see Peter. Listen, when Peter realizes God's holiness and God's power and God's call on his life, Peter realizes, you know what? I am not worthy to be here. I am a sinner, Lord. We're going to see that. And yet what's neat about Peter is we see that Peter still had that desire to say, you know what, Lord, I still want to be here. Remember Peter, he's the one that when Jesus was standing there and he was telling all of his followers, he was saying, you know what, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. Now let's face it, guys, let's all be honest. That sounds weird, does it not? I mean, if you were to go to church one day and the pastor got up and said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're going to have no part of the kingdom. You'd say, okay, honey, we're going to go somewhere else next week. Now, I don't know. I know you like the music here, but I don't know about the teacher. Whatever it might be, you'd be moving on. There's Jesus. He says to the crowds because he wanted to thin them out. Isn't that interesting? Today, there are many church programs to build the church, and I think it's good. We need to reach out. That's part of the ministry. We reach out to the lost. But Jesus wasn't nearly as concerned about getting the crowds in as he was getting those who were serious to commit. And he said, you know what? Unless you see spiritually, right now you're hearing physically, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I'm talking about the spirit, guys, is what Jesus was saying. Just as the Passover lamb, I'm the lamb. They used to sacrifice the lamb. Then they would eat the lamb. And then he said, if you don't take of my blood, which is the forgiveness of sins, he said, you can have no part of me. Now, here's Peter. I love this guy. Peter has no clue what he's talking about. I wouldn't have either. Would you? I mean, somebody says something like that. It's radical. And maybe you've been reading God's word and come across something Jesus said that's so radical. You say, I don't understand that, Lord. That makes no sense to me, but I trust you. And I know if you said it, then I can believe it. See, that's where Peter was. And we're going to see today that's Peter's heart. Because even though the Lord's going to say some things today that make no sense to this businessman who's a fisherman and knows better than this carpenter who's a pastor, he still does what he says. Why? Because he said, Lord, at your word, I'll do it. You see, Peter said, I don't understand this, Lord. He said, but at your word, we're going to stay here. He said, are you guys going to leave? When he made that announcement, a big crowd left. A big portion of the people got up and walked out because they weren't willing to stick around to find out what it was he really meant. And he looked at his disciples and said, guys, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You hold the words of life. We're staying right here. We can't go anywhere. I don't understand what you're saying, in other words, but I understand you and I trust you. And I'm going to stay right here until I find out what the answer is. See, that's a heart God can work with. And that's the heart that Peter had. And as we get into this story, we're going to see the Lord now calling them into a high level of commitment, all out, forsaking all. Lord, nothing down here matters. It's all going to burn, and it will eventually. So, Lord, I'm going to make best of what I've got right now and give it all to you and go for it. Notice what happens. Notice this. Well, the first level of commitment, I'll call it. Look at verse 1. Now it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And guys, I think this is really the first level of the believer. We have a desire to hear the word of God. We give our life to the Lord, and we want to go to church. We want to be around other believers. We want to hear the Bible taught. Notice he says the crowd was pressing about him. Now how exciting it is. Listen, what pastor would not like it if the crowd was pressing about to hear the word of God? And here's Jesus teaching the word of God, and they want to hear the word of God so bad, they're pushing in on him. The word means basically, you ever been in one of those crowds where you're being moved about by the crowd? It's kind of that scary feeling of, I hope this thing doesn't turn into like a stampede or something and I get crushed up here. I've been in situations where crowds have literally moved me around. I'm like, okay, this is not good. That's really what's going on here. The crowds are pressing on the Lord so much that he can't even hardly move, and they're moving him around, pressing in. But here's what's neat to me, and this is exciting. Why are they pressing him? To hear the word of God. As a lot of people press away to get away from the word of God. How exciting it is to see the crowds pressing in. Why? Because they saw that it was real and they saw its power. And see, that's really the first step, the first level of commitment. That's what draws the believer in. That's what has drawn you to the Lord. Maybe if you're here today and don't know the Lord, that's what's drawing you to church today. Because you want to hear God's word. You know that something about this is real. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've heard that his word has power. You want to come check it out for yourself and see what's going on. They're pressing in on the Lord. They're finding out what's going on. What is he doing? And he's just standing there by the Lake of Gennesaret. And again, what we call the Sea of Galilee. Now notice in the scriptures, when you see that, don't be stumbled by that. Gennesaret is called by many different things. It's called Gennesaret, which means a harp. It's also called the Sea of Galilee. Even though it was a lake, they called it a sea. It just means a body of water. And it was also called the Kinneret. Rather, Kinneret is actually the harp. I apologize. The Kinneret was another name for it. And that's a type of harp. And the reason they called it that was the shape of it. So here's the Lord standing by this lake, if you will, getting ready to preach the word of God, to share the word of God. The crowd is gathering in. And notice what happens. Verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Now we need to take note. What is this a sign of? Why were they gone? Why were they washing their nets? It's morning. The sun is up. They're washing their nets. What's the pattern? Here's how it worked. See, fishermen in Galilee fished at night. When you were to go out and fish, you would get your boat, you would go out at the nighttime, you would go in shallow water because you would have the nets that sunk to the bottom and you'd want to catch the schools of fish that were up close to the sides. Oftentimes, they would even hang a lantern off the side of the boat. You see, probably if you're a fisherman, you may do that today. Or you've seen other people do that where they hang the lantern out there to attract the fish and then they would throw this net in. The net wasn't very huge, maybe 8 to 10 feet. It had weights on the side and you would throw the net in. The net would sink to the bottom. It would have a rope attached to it, and as you pulled it up, it would close up the opening and catch any fish that you would bring up. They would cast that over and over and over just in the water throughout the night as they were fishing. So when they were done, they would come in, they would park their boats on the side, and the daytime was the time you went to sleep. It was the time you went to rest because now you've been working all night long. So they pull their boats up on the shore, they would go and stretch their nets out because if they didn't stretch their nets out, the nets would rot, they'd become clumped, and they'd have to clean the nets out from all the debris that would get caught in them from the night before. So notice they're just doing their job. They come in from work, in other words, is what we would say. They park their boats. Jesus sees their boats. They're over there, nets spread out, cleaning their nets, probably now noticing the crowd. And in your mind will you just imagine, they see this crowd moving this way. And they see all of a sudden in the middle of this large crowd, there in the morning, Jesus. And you know, they think, wow, there's the Lord. Here's the one we've been following. They're coming back from work. There's this huge crowd gathering. Their boats are parked there. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes over to one of the boats. And notice this. It says that he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes. Now, I can imagine when they saw Jesus come to the boat, they ran over. You know, you're cleaning the nets. Hey, who's that? What's that crowd? That's the Lord. Well, let's get over there. They leave their nets. They go over. Peter runs over. There's Peter's boat. Again, in partnership with James and John. We'll see their fishing partners, business partners, if you will. And the Lord gets inside the boat. Again, the crowd pushing on him, trying to get some distance so that he can minister to the people. He was too pressed upon. And he looks at Peter and says, Peter, move out in the water some. Now, why would he do this? Well, a couple of reasons. One is he needed room to teach. He didn't have the space to speak to them. He didn't have the room to teach. So he got in the boat, and now there was this little buffer zone, this little cushion, if you will, something between the boat pulpit and the people. Except, of course, the Lord needed that distance because they were pushing him over and on. He wanted to be able to teach them. They were excited. They wanted to hear it, but he had to establish order. But also what's really neat, and those of you who have been to Israel, and maybe you've been there, there on the Sea of Galilee or in the Gennesaret, the water works as an amplifier. If you stand out in the water and you speak, the water, and again, it works in most any lake. Those of you that have been on lakes, you ever wonder why somebody way out there in a boat, you can hear them talking, but you yell, they can't always hear you if you're on the land. Because the voice goes down, hits the water, and it's a natural amplifier. So the Lord was going out there, basically setting up the pulpit, putting up the amps, and having an outdoor meeting, if you will, with the crowds on the shore. That's exactly what's happening. So catch the scene here. And as he would speak, you would hear everything that he said as he taught. And the Lord knew that. So again, just getting in a posture where he can begin to teach the people. Peter in the boat with him, listening to the Lord, watching to see what the Lord's going to do, what the Lord's going to say as he begins to minister. And I notice what happens. It says he sat down and began to teach the multitudes. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, guys, here's the first challenge to a higher level of commitment in Peter. You see, Peter didn't know that's what this was. But here's what's going on. Peter's been following. Peter's been committed. Peter's even made that second step, I think, to where he said, you know what, Lord? Everything I have is yours. After all, he allowed the Lord to use his business to proclaim his name. Here, I'm a fisherman. This is what I do. You want my boat to preach the word of God from? There's my boat. Preach the word of God. But even though Peter was at a higher level of commitment, he knew that Peter still had somewhere to go. And so now the Lord begins to challenge Peter. He says, Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch. Now get the scene here for a minute. Guys, Peter's a fisherman. Fishermen are trained and they are experienced in what they do. They know when you fish. They know where you fish. Now, if you ever were to take me fishing, you'd find out I am not a fisherman. I do terrible at fishing. And I, for some reason, I just don't catch fish. I don't know why. People can be all around me catching fish. And I think they're like under there putting them on there, guys in scuba gear, just to make me look bad. But I can't catch fish. I don't know what. Now, I've got occasional fish, but I can't do that. So I appreciate someone who has that ability. There is an art to it. It's more than just the little worm. I mean, there's something to it. I don't know what it is. Peter was a fisherman. He knows fish. Now get the scene. He's been out all night. All night. He has caught nothing, as we read just a moment ago. And now the Lord says, all right, Peter, launch out in the deep. We're going to catch some fish. Throw your nets down. Well, first of all, you don't go to the deep when you're going to catch fish. You stay to the shallow side so your nets can sink and catch those that are in schools around the edge. So you don't go to the deep. Secondly, you don't fish during the day. Oh, you can. And of course, we go out with our fishing pole and our rod and fish during the day. But the best fishing there in the Sea of Galilee by net is by night. And so he knew that. And now he says, I want you to go out in the middle of the day, out in the deep, launch your nets, cast them down deep. You're gonna make a great catch. Peter's mind's going, you know what? There's no way. And there may have been some things, and there may be some things, and there may be something God right now is asking you to do that makes no logical sense at all. You see, you're experienced in what you know. You're experienced in what you do. And yet the Lord is saying, no, I want you to trust me, and I want you to just do what I'm asking you to do at my word, nothing else. I know it doesn't make logical sense. I know it doesn't go in line with your business savvy. I know it doesn't go in line with what you've learned and been taught over the years and what you've seen successful. But I'm asking you to do something right now that goes against all logic and all sense. And I want you to trust me. And notice what he says. If you'll do it, he says this to him. He says, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. What? To catch nothing else? No, let down your nets for a catch. In other words, Peter, if you'll just obey me, you're going to catch something. You're going to find success. If you will be obedient to me, you will find success. So Peter, notice what he says here. This is interesting. He calls him, rather, I keep saying Peter. He calls him Simon. Notice when he stopped speaking, he said, does Simon launch out in the deep? Now, why do I point out Simon? Guys, you'll notice in Scripture that Jesus gave the disciples a new name. Those of you that have taken note of that, he gives a new name. You see, they have a name, but he gives them a new name because of what he knows they're going to be and what he's going to one day make them. I think the Lord has done the same thing for you in this room today. Oh, I know you've got your name. I mean, my name's Mark, and your name's Joe or Steve or Susan or whatever your name might be. Here's the point. Listen, God knows what you're going to be. And he's given you a new name for who you're going to be. Simon, interestingly enough, from my understanding, means from the root word, shifting sand. And Simon, again, was a guy who was sometimes on, sometimes off, sometimes there, sometimes not so there. And Peter gave him, or rather Jesus gave him a new name at a later date. He said, you know what? Your name is now Peter. He had the name Peter, but you're not going to go by Simon. You're going to go by Peter, which is a rock. You're going to be strong for me, Peter. Right now you're Simon, but I'm going to turn you into a rock. You're going to go from shifting sand to rocky by the time I'm done training you. And so the Lord, again, but notice how he refers to him. He's not yet rock. He's still Simon. So he says, Simon, I know you're thinking fleshly right now. I know I'm asking you to do something that goes against your logic. I know I'm asking you to do something that goes against your business savvy, your skills, your training. I know this is not the norm, but I want you to cast out into the deep. I want you to rather go out into the deep, cast your nets. You're going to get a great catch. And watch what happens. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night. It literally means to the point of exhaustion. And we've caught nothing. In other words, you know, Lord, I mean, come on, you're a carpenter. turned pastor. I'm a fisherman. It's in my family. It's in my blood. I grew up fishing. Lord, this is not a wise move. This is not logical. This does not make sense. But notice what he says. And this again is the heart of Peter that so attracts me. Notice this. Nevertheless. Guys, we need to have hearts of nevertheless. What do I mean by that? Notice what he says. At your word, I'll let down the net. Guys, let me ask you, is there something that you just won't do when God is prompting you in your heart because you think it's just not going to work? It's just not going to work. I've tried that. I've shared with them before. I've done street witnessing, whatever it might be. It's just not going to work. I'm not going to do it. But God speaks to your heart one day, and there you are, and there's the crowd around you, and you share, but you've not had any success. And all of a sudden, God says, cast down your net. Oh, but Lord, I can't cast down my net right now. That'll be embarrassing. Cast down your net. Oh, Lord, they're not going to respond. I mean, I cast it down my lip. They don't care about you, Lord. They're not in that world. They're in a different place. Cast down your net. There's going to be a catch. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do this, and my heart's beating fast, but nevertheless, since you've asked me to, I'll cast down my net. And I can tell you, I am not an evangelist. God has used me to lead people to the Lord, and I thank him for that. I am a teacher. God has given me the gift to teach his word. I teach the Bible. That's what I do. But I can remember one particular Sunday teaching at another church. And God said, cast down your net. There's going to be a catch. And I remember feeling that in my heart thinking, but Lord, I'm not a fisherman. I mean, I'm a teacher. I don't typically cast down my net. He said, cast down the net. And I obeyed him in the fear that I had. And there was a great catch that day. And there's going to be times where God's going to do the same thing in your heart, whether or not you feel like you're a gifted evangelist or not a gifted evangelist or have whatever. God's going to say, cast down your net because I'm going to do a work. And then God's going to do that work. And now that's what he's doing with Peter. Peter says, you know what, Lord? We're not going to catch anything. At least I don't think logically. It's not going to make sense. This isn't going to work. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will cast down the net. And guys, that's the key. Are we going to do whatever God asks us at his word, whether we think it makes logical sense or not? And again, there may be somebody here this morning that God is saying, I'm asking you to do something. It's making no logical sense. And if the Lord is saying, trust me, will you do it at my word? Notice what happens. And when he had done this, I've got that underlined. Notice after he obeyed, had he not obeyed, you know what would have happened? Let's just say this. Let me have your eyes for a minute. If Peter had not obeyed, you know what would have happened? Nothing. Peter would have gone away thinking, well, I'm glad I didn't cast the net. I never would have caught anything anyway. And yet, because he obeyed the word, what happened? He was greatly blessed. He had great reward, and he saw the fruit of obeying the word of God. You see, it's those who obey. When Jesus saw the lepers, what did he say to them? The lepers said, these 10 lepers, they said, Lord, heal us. He said, go and see the priest. And as you go and see the priest, offer for him, rather have him offer the sacrifice for the healing of leprosy. And notice this, it says, as they went, they were healed. As what would have happened had they not gone? Oh, it's not going to work. I'm glad Christianity worked for you. I'm glad God healed you. I'm glad God worked that way in your life. I'm glad you seem excited about the Lord. It's not working for me. I think I'll just kind of check out. You know what? It's those that go that find the blessing. Guys, not those that stay. As they went, he healed them. And now it says, notice this, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish so that their net was breaking. Guys, listen, the nets were strong. You don't break nets with fish unless they're old and rotted. They certainly had good nets. They were professional fishermen. Their good equipment was breaking down because of the blessing of the Lord. So they cast in the water. They have this great number of fish that they're bringing in and that they're catching. And notice what happens. He says this, well, literally the nets were tearing apart is what it literally means there. So they signaled to their partners, that is those guys that were in business with them, signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they both began to sink. Now note that. The blessing was so great. It wasn't just their boat sinking. Both boats were sinking. Now, how many of you guys have had your fish stories when you come home? I bet you can't say that. You should have seen how many I caught today. Was your boat sinking? Well, no. Well, I'm not impressed. You want to see a real catch? Do it the way the Lord says. Then you're going to see a real catch. And guys, here's the key. Listen, here's the key, and that is this. When we do things in our own ability, in our own effort, and take this away from fishing, certainly we can catch fish on our own. That's not my point. But I want to spiritualize this just a moment. Oh, yes, we have the literal story. We have Jesus saying, cast your net down, and we have the great miracle that the Lord did, and they literally caught the fish. But let me say this. God's going to ask you to do some things that may not make sense. They may seem illogical, and they may even go against what you've been trained and taught throughout your life. Not contrary to the word, don't get me wrong, but different than logical thinking. And the Lord is doing it. He's putting it on your heart. And if you will simply say, you know what, Lord, this makes no sense to me. I don't understand, but I'm casting my nets down the deep. Let me tell you, God is going to bless you in whatever area that might be. You're going to find the Lord there. He never asks you to do something and then leaves you hanging. And so Peter here does it. He finds the great reward, if you will, from the Lord. So much so that their boats begin to sink and these guys are starting to go under. And notice this, what happens. I love Peter's response. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Guys, here's what happens. Listen, the man who sees the Lord, or the woman who truly sees the Lord and sees his greatness and his power, is the one who realizes his sinfulness. I used to think I wasn't that bad of a guy. I mean, I knew I did things that were wrong, but I knew guys that were worse than me. You ever been there? It's like, Lord, I've been doing some things that are bad, but you ought to see this guy. He's really bad. It's only until we see the Lord face to face and his pureness and his holiness that we realize how bad we are, that even our best is not good enough. Guys, the Bible says that our righteous works are like filthy rags before the throne of God. Note that, not our bad works, our righteous works. If our righteous works are like filthy rags, what's everything else like? I really don't want to know. Peter found out. You see, at this moment, he saw the Lord's glory. He saw the Lord's power. And he said, you know what? Who is this man? You are no ordinary person. There is a power about you. There's a holiness about you. There's an astonishing glory about you. I don't deserve to be here. I see my sinfulness. But now here's what's good. Now, wait a minute. Here's what's good. We all are just as sinful. It's just sometimes we don't see it until the Lord reveals it to us. God now has revealed to Peter his sinfulness. Peter, by the way, a saved Christian, following the Lord, when he sees Jesus in greater glory, realizes he has a greater level of sinfulness. And notice what he does. He says, "Lord, depart from me." Isn't that the first response we have? You know, I know I'm a sinner. I just need to stay away from God. I need to stay away from church. I need to do this. I need to back off. And sin does that. Sin drives us away from the Lord. But here's what I love about Peter. Notice Peter's honesty. Peter said, "Lord, I am a sinner, but I need you." How do I know he's saying that? He says, "Lord, depart from me." But notice where he collapsed when he said it. He collapsed at his knees. He didn't jump to the other side of the boat. He didn't back away and say, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He came and fell on his knees and said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." In other words, I really want you, Jesus. What my heart is saying is I really need you. I see your greatness. I see your glory. I see your power. I see my sinfulness. I see my need for forgiveness. I want you, but something in me is saying, you know what? You're too good for me. I'm not worthy of you. I'm not worthy of the kingdom. And the Lord is saying, you know what? Listen, you're worthy because of my blood. It's not our worthiness. It's his blood. And this is where the heart comes in. If we realize that we are sinners, if we realize that we have a problem, the Lord just wants us to collapse at his feet and say, you know what, Lord, I need you. We may be screaming in the flesh, "Depart from me," or "I can never do this Christian thing." But on the inside, we're saying, "Lord, I need you." And that's exactly where Peter was. What a great heart. "Lord, depart from me." But inside saying, you know what, I need you. And also interesting to me here, we see another thing that happens when you see the Lord in his true fullness, in his glory. And that is pride goes out the window. You see, just a couple of verses back, what was he saying? Jesus said, "Peter," rather Simon, "cast out of the deep. There's going to be a catch." And he said, "Lord, you know, I'm a fisherman. We've been toiling all night. We've caught nothing, and we'll do it. Okay, we'll do it. At your word, Lord, we'll do it." And now we see when he sees God answering in power by his word, what does he do? He collapses at the feet of the Lord in humility. And that's another thing that happens when we truly see the Lord. We lay down the pride. And Peter now lays down the pride. He becomes humble before the Lord. He sees God's greatness. He sees his sinfulness. And it's interesting to me here, again, the word sinful, what it means. It means literally devoted to sin and not yet free from it. Why do I say that? Because there may be some Simons in here this morning. What do I mean by that? Well, you know what I mean. You've given your life to the Lord, but there's still areas of sin that you're captive to. And every time you do it, you know what happens? Here's what happens. Every time you do it, "Lord, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm a Christian. What am I doing? Lord, I got to go to church. I don't even feel like going to church. I'm not going to church today." And maybe you're here this morning and you thought, "You know what? I'm not going to church today because that same sin that always snags me, I fell in last night and I'm not even going to go this morning." But something got you up and brought you here this morning. And it was God's Spirit, because he wanted to say to you the same thing he said to Peter. "I know you're struggling in sin, Peter, but that's the kind of people I choose. And I give them a new name. I take Simons and I make them rocks. I take shifting sand and I turn them into something that's solid. And you know what? You may be devoted to sin. You may be still stumbling in sin. But if you will trust me, if you will continue to follow me, if you will forsake all and commit all to me, I will make you exactly what I want you to be. And I will do in you, Peter, what I've done in men throughout thousands of years and what he's done since Peter's time until today. And guys, what he'll do for us today. The Lord will take you right where you are. And this encourages me too, because look, this is one of his closest followers. This is Simon. This is like one of the 11. And one of the 12 after when Paul joined them, after Judas fell. One of the closest followers of the Lord. Note this. One of the closest followers of the Lord early on in his walk was struggling in areas of sin. Now, I know we shouldn't be encouraged by other people's weaknesses. But does that encourage you? It encourages me to realize that he didn't call these guys and they floated to him. John, James, Peter. Yes, Lord. You know, and they come floating over and... Now, you know, R2, C3PO, go that way, and then whatever. And they go and they do ministry, you know, and this kind of, no, you know what he said? He said, all right, you bunch of sinners, get over. He didn't say it that way. He said, I love you guys, follow me. And the whole time, here's what they thought. Hey, we're pretty special. We're probably pretty good. He called us. And he's going, man, what sinners? And now he wants them to see it. And guys, I believe before we can get to a place where God can use us in power and where we truly forsake all for his name, we have to see how sinful we really are. The Lord now revealed it to Peter. Peter, I've got a surprise for you. You're sinful. I'm not. I'm holy. You're unclean. I love you. I've called you. I've chosen you. And it excites me because he chooses the unclean and he uses the unclean and he cleans us up. You know, Peter was a fisherman. And fishermen know that you clean your fish after you catch them. Jesus was a fisherman too. And he knew that after taking Peter in his catch, in his spiritual net, now's time to clean. I hear so many people say, you know what? I just can't go to church. I can't give my life to the Lord because I'm not clean enough yet. I've got to get my act together. I've got to get right. How many fish swim around going, you know what? I'd love to be grilled tonight, but I've got to get rid of these scales first. Now, they don't say that. They don't say that because they don't really want to be on the grill. But guys, how many people grill themselves before they ever come to the Lord to be cleaned? Oh, look at my life. I'm not worthy. I'm a mess. I'm this. How many of us this morning, even as Christians, as we've given our life to the Lord, we're saying right now, you know what? Lord, my life's such a mess. You could never use me. And I'm glad I'm saved, but sometimes I wonder if I'm going to lose my salvation. And I'm in such a mess or whatever. And you know what he's saying to you this morning? He's saying, you know what? I'm going to use you in a great way. But you've got to do the same thing Peter did. You've got to recognize your sinfulness. Don't run from the Lord. Come to him and say, Lord, help me. I see this, but you've got to touch me. You've got to make a change in my life, and I'm going to follow you no matter what. And we've also got to have the heart of Peter that says this, Lord, though everyone else walks away because they don't understand, I'm not going anywhere. Remember what Peter said when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, Lord, I don't know what you mean. He said, but I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. Where else would I go? You hold the words of life. I believe the difference between the Christian that's used in power and the Christian that just gets in the kingdom is the one that says, no matter what I feel like or what I do, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm keeping my eyes on you, and I'm not going to leave until this thing's done. Because how many of us fall away, and that's when we don't get used? And the reason Peter and James and John, the reason we know these guys, the reason they were chosen, the reason they were part of the 12, if you will, is because they made a commitment. They said, I'm going to stay with you, even though I don't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I realize that I still struggle in areas of sin, I'm going to stay right here because I know that you're my only hope. And I'm not going to leave my only hope. I'm not a fool. But Lord, you've got to help me. That's exactly where Peter was, and that's exactly what God is doing here in helping him. I love it. Interesting. Notice this in verse 9. He says, "For depart from me, O Lord, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." So again, business partners. These guys worked in the fishing industry together. And by the way, this was a lucrative business. Fishing industry, most people in the fishing industry made more money than the average person. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." You see, that's where he wanted to take Peter, the next level. See, it's one thing, guys, to be back at the Jordan River and to hear about Jesus and begin to follow him and give your life to Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Maybe some of you are there this morning. It's another thing to say, you know what, I'm going to take the next step. I've asked the Lord to fill me with His Spirit. I've asked God to give me boldness. God has given you boldness. Now you're beginning to share out in public. You're beginning to share with your friends. You're beginning to make it very known, even in your business, whatever the case might be. You follow Jesus Christ. You've moved on. But now God's calling you this morning to a third level. He's saying, great, I'm glad you're there. But now, Peter, it's time for you to go on to the next level, and that is to leave everything and to follow me. Because you see, I want to take you from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. And that doesn't mean that God's going to call you from your business or whatever it might be, even the place where you work, to make you quit your job and now become a pastor. No, God's going to call you right where you are to be what He's called you to be. And He'll let you know what that is, but He's called you to be that witness for Him where He is. And now He says, Peter, listen, you're going to catch men from this point on. Now you're going to be my witness. You're going to follow me, and you're going to do as I've asked you to do, and you're going to be a witness to the world. Notice what He says here in verse 11. He says, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed the Lord. You see, Peter was learning a valuable lesson here. And that was, is that, you know what? Lord, I'm following you, but I think there's still some area to work on. I think I've still got some areas that maybe I'm not really fully committed in. I mean, Lord, if it came right down to the line, there's probably some things I wouldn't do. Now, I'm not talking about laying down your life or whatever the case might be in a real physical way. I believe if God ever calls us to do that, God will give us the strength to do that. But I believe that if God ever puts you in that position, I believe if God ever puts me in that position, He'll give us the grace to make the stand that we need to make. And so we trust in Him. Peter, the Lord was taking him to a higher level. He's saying, Peter, you know what? There's more to go here. I'm calling you to a new direction of life. I'm calling you to forsake all. And it's interesting here, the word forsook, it's the same word that's used in the language of divorce. Here's what it's saying they did. They came to this place where they saw the Lord in His fullness. They realized, you know what? Fishing's all right, but Jesus is everything. Fishing's temporary. Jesus is eternal. I've seen His power now. I've seen His glory. And you know what? I'm going to give everything I've got for Him. I'm going to forsake all. I am, you ready? Divorcing the world. There is divorce God approves of. And that's divorcing the world. I want nothing to do with it. I completely part from it. And I leave it behind. And guys, the bottom line is, that is what they're doing here. They're forsaking all. They're saying, Lord, we divorce it all because we want You. The question for us today is this right here. And really, this is where the crux of everything focuses in and comes down to. And that is this. Guys, really, to what degree have we committed to the Lord? Where are we? Have we just given our life to the Lord and we're happy to hear the Word of God? This is great. It's good to hear God's Word. I love to hear God's Word. We press in. And that's good. You've got a desire to hear God's Word. That's wonderful. But we press in to hear the Word of God, but it stops there. I want to hear the Word of God, but it's not going beyond here because, you see, religion's a private thing. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take that stance? Had religion been a private thing for Jesus, none of us would have been saved and all eternally condemned. Guys, Jesus said the opposite. He said, what you hear in the ear, shout from what? The rooftops. The rooftops. In other words, it's not a private thing. It's something that God gives to us, and now we've freely given, we are to freely give. And yet, I'm with you. I know the feeling. Oh, now I'm feeling like such a failure. Me too. And that's where we've got to run to the Lord and say, God, You've got to give me power, because I'm not going to share if You don't. I'm too scared. I'm not bold enough. I don't know what to say. I don't want to be rejected. I don't know what they'll think. You know what? I wonder when Peter, when all those other fishermen were there on the shore, and they knew Peter's business. They knew he was a fisherman, and the Lord said, launch out in the deep, we're going to cast the net down. I wonder when they saw the boat going out there, if they were going, what's this guy doing? What's this religious nut? His leader tells him, go out, there's no fish out there, they've been fishing all night. And probably, I would say, and I'm not saying they were here, but it would have been easy had they been in earshot to make fun of Peter. You're taking this Jesus thing too far, you're putting a fish on your boat. So to speak, the little thing on the back with it. On the trunk, never mind. And yet Peter said, I don't care. You know what? I'm committed to do it. I'm going to do it. This is where I am. I've heard, but now I'm going to be that witness. I don't care. I want to be that further witness. And I'm going to divorce the world, and I'm going to follow the Lord. And again, maybe some of you are at that next place where now you have. You've prayed for God to give you boldness. He's given you that boldness. You're doing it. And now you're saying, all right, that's great. But God's saying right now this morning, I want you to go to another level. I want you to go to another level. You came, you followed. That's good. You follow me around now. You've seen what I've done. You've seen my power. You've begun to share. But now I want you to lay it all down, everything. Lay it all down. I think the hardest thing to lay down is going to be your family. Even money's easier to lay down than your family. When it comes to going to the Lord and saying, Lord, they're Yours. My wife, my children, they're Yours. You know what immediately happens. The enemy starts saying, yeah, well, maybe God will take them. And you get fearful. What did He say to Peter? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm calling you to a higher level of commitment. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm just taking you to a place now where I can use you at a greater level. And from now on, you'll catch men. You're going to be used for me, not just as a Christian showing up to church on Sunday, not just as somebody that's sharing around with your family. You're going to be used in greater ways because I've called you to a greater call. And that is exactly what the Lord was doing with Peter. And I think that's what God is doing with some of you here today. And he's moving in your heart to do that. The question is, are we ready to forsake all and do it? Are we really ready to lay it all down, to forsake all? You know, Jim Elliot once said this, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Guys, this world's passing away. There's a lot of neat stuff down here. There's a lot of fun things. I like going to the beach. I like good seafood. I like playing in theme parks and riding my bike. That's fun stuff, but every bit of it is going to pass away one day. And the only thing that's going to remain is what I have done and who I have been in Jesus Christ. That's eternity. This is all temporary. It's all passing. It's all just going to be, and it's gone. And what our mindset has to be is, Lord, where am I? What level of commitment am I? How badly am I ready to forsake all? Notice this too. Now, Peter's a fisherman. Fishermen made decent money in that day. And now he just got the best business deal of his life. The boats were so full, they filled up two boats. They'd never had a catch that big. It was a miracle. It was so astonishing that he committed all to the Lord and said, and it says they came to the shore and what? It's just fish, Lord. It's just fish. I want you. And guys, I say today, you know what, this world, there's a lot of neat stuff out there. There's a lot of nice sparklies. There's a lot of fun things to go after. It's all fish. It all in the end is going to stink and smell. But in the long run, what we've got is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this too, right before we end, because I want to challenge. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to challenge some of you guys to forsake all and commit to the Lord. But I'm going to say this too. Some of you here this morning, maybe have never given your heart to the Lord at all. You know, the Lord, when he started out with James and John and Peter, here's what he said. He said, they said, Lord, where are you staying? I love the first question they gave him. They start following him, and they didn't know what to say. And that's like me. I never know what to say. They get him. They don't know what to say. Lord, so where are you staying? Well, it's a conversation starter. But I like what the Lord said. He turned around to him and said, come and see. And some of you this morning, the Lord's saying this. You're saying, okay, what is this Jesus thing? You're saying forsake all. I don't even know if I believe in him. I haven't even given my heart to him. The Lord's saying this to you this morning. He's saying, you know, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see? Why don't you just simply ask me into your heart, give your life to me, and watch what I do. I'll change your life. And God will grow and mature you. And then again, God, some of you has at that place saying, no, you've come and seen. You've had the walk going for a while, and now I'm taking you to a new place to forsake all, and he wants you to do it this morning. Why don't we pray? Let's ask him to do it. Let's give him a chance to do it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray this morning, Lord, for God, for all those in here that right now, that by this message, you're challenging them. You're saying to them, it's time to forsake all. It's time to follow me and not go back to the world. It's time to commit everything, 100%. Lord, some in this room right now honestly are saying, I can't do that. And Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they are. Some in this room are saying, Lord, I'm ready to give it all. I want to forsake everything and follow you. But I'm afraid, even as Peter was afraid. Lord, help them to lose that fear. And now just to lay everything down at your feet, Lord, to give you everything and saying, I'm forsaking all. That's it, Jesus. I'm yours. And God, I pray you just would help them right now to do that, to forsake all. Lord, as we commit everything to you to follow. And Lord, there are some this morning that are saying, you know what? I haven't even come to see yet whether or not I want to do this thing. This is my first visit to church, maybe ever. And Lord, even as you said to those first disciples there at the Jordan, come and see. Lord, you're saying to them this morning, come and see. And Lord, they want to know you as well. Father, I pray you would move in their heart right now to believe that you died on the cross for their sins, that they would ask you into their heart, that they would give their life to you, Lord, that they would commit themselves to you, and that this morning, Lord, they would know the Lord that we know. Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.